All right, it is Wednesday night. Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. It's preview night. We're going to talk a little FSU-Syracuse game just a few days away. Feels like the last time we were on here, Richie, we had a little bit of breaking news, but we've got a little news to report as well as we get this thing started. But Richie, had a couple of days to decompress since that Virginia Tech win. How's your week been otherwise?
Been a pretty good week for the most part. You know, just thinking about that Virginia Tech game, I thought, you know, looking back, I'm not really upset at all about it. You know, Florida State did what they had to do. We'll see if they can do that again this week at Syracuse. But at the end of the day, you're 5-0, ranked number 4 in the country. Granted, AP coaches poll doesn't mean anything. But if you keep winning, when that first CFP poll comes out, I think Florida State's going to really like where they stand. And I'm just looking forward to this month because it should be, keyword should be, a nice smooth month for Florida State football. We'll see how it plays out, but you know, feeling pretty good about the season so far.
I like where we're at. I like the guy that said TJ over under on 2.5 minutes late under, cause it was just 2. So it was under. So, I'm going 3.5 next time. Yeah, feeling good after thinking about the game and rewatching a little bit. You know, we took a little bit of issue with people that were kind of all over the defense. The defense gave up 10 points, and a lot of that was pretty aided by the officials. And so, you know, maybe don't have as much of a problem as I thought we did at one point. So, I like where we're at right now. I think there are some things that can be cleaned up. There are some things that we can work on. We'll talk a little bit about Syracuse tonight, talk a little bit about what we want to see out of FSU, and then we'll get out of here. This might not be a super long episode, but we'll see. Like, the Prize Picks always takes forever, so maybe it will be super long. We'll see. So, Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. You can visit both their locations at 1818 West Tennessee and 2550 North Monroe. We appreciate you guys. If you're tuned in tonight, make sure you hit that thumbs up button. Make sure that you're subscribed if you're watching on the replay. I say this every week at the end of the show, but the replay listeners can hear this at the beginning. Make sure that you are subscribed. About 60% of you guys that watch this aren't subscribed. So I don't know if you're not logged in or what, but take the time, log in. You're logged into Gmail everywhere else. Log in, hit the subscribe button, and show some support. All right, Richie, noon kickoff. Let's start there. Are you, I wouldn't say worried at all, but what are your thoughts just in general on the noon kickoff? This week, does that worry you at all? Do you like that? I know Madso is not a big fan, so hopefully they're not tuned in tonight, but thoughts on the noon kick?
I'm in the minority is that I'm typically a big fan of noon kickoffs when it's not a big game, but I do have a one-year-old's birthday party to attend at 11:30 Saturday morning. So that's going to be tough. But as far as the team goes, I'm not overly concerned about it. You know, we saw what happened up at Boston College. I think there were a lot of different factors that played in to what happened up there. I'm a big fan of just getting the game over early in the day, get the win so I can just relax and watch the rest of the college football. A lot of big games this week. So, you know, the noon kicks don't really bother me. I get why a Madso, like a local business, or if you're a fan going to the game, would not prefer a noon kickoff. But as far as the team goes, I don't think it would have much difference whether this game was at noon in Doak or at, you know, 7:30 p.m. on ESPN.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I think that getting the game out of the way when I'm in Tampa. Now, if I'm in Tallahassee, I love the 8 o'clock kickoffs. I get it, right? You get to tailgate all day. You have more fun. You're staying the night anyway. But when I'm at home, I don't mind the noon kickoff, just to be very honest with you. I know that, you know, some people hate that, but I think you just, especially when it's a game like this, like when you're a three score favorite, 17.5 points, you're supposed to win this pretty big. Just get the game over with. Like, there's no reason to wait till 8 o'clock. Like, cause I am nervous. Like, before every game, I'm a little nervous. So just get that out of the way, get that over with. Let's get to the rest of the games. Hey, Richie, I like this. And I think it's good for the team too. Like, I think, you know, it's harder for the road team to get up, get going for a noon kick. That's when it's going to be the hottest if you're Syracuse coming from up north. But how about this? I like when the Big Three play at three different time slots. That's what happens this weekend. We play at noon, Florida at 3:30, and then Miami is the late game. I like that a lot. because then I get to watch all three of them without anything like interfering. I can focus on those and cheer for, you know, this weekend I'll cheer for my Gamecocks and my UNC Tar Heels. So I don't know. Maybe I put too much thought into that, but that's something else I like about the kickoff lineup this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that Florida game I'll be watching because, you know, we got Washington and Oregon this weekend at 3:30, so that'll probably have the main spot on my TV. But, yeah, I do like the idea of being able to watch all three at different times because especially when you get late in games, if there's multiple close games, you just get so distracted. So if you're a Big Three fan planning to watch all three games, this week could not line up any better for you. And the nightcap with North Carolina, Drake May, going up against Miami. And, oh, by the way, they get the receiver back. Oof, that's going to be a fun game to watch, I think.
Yeah, hopefully they win by a billion. So, all right, Florida State, we just mentioned it, is a 17.5 point favorite against Syracuse this weekend. Over under on the game is 56. Noon kickoff on ABC. So I saw last week, Richie, you see we were still like top seven in the country as far as viewership, and we were playing like a crappy Virginia Tech team at the same time that Alabama was playing Texas A&M, and we still had a top seven viewership. So shout out to the Noles who continue to lead the country in I think they lead the country right now in total eyes watched. It's either them or Colorado, which has also kind of been remarkable. But Florida State's been crushing it there. Noon kick, ABC, 17.5 point favorites. Initial thoughts on that spread, Richie?
Yeah, you know, this is a game that a couple weeks ago looked like it could be really, really tough. But I think it's a product of Syracuse doing what they've done several of the last few years. They kind of pad that early season schedule. You know, they blew out Colgate 65-0, played Western Michigan, easy win. Purdue beat them. I mean, that doesn't look like a great win anymore, and beat Army. The last 2 weeks, you know, 17-point loss at home to Clemson and lost by 33 in Chapel Hill last week to North Carolina. I just don't think this is a very good Syracuse team. I think they're capable of giving you a scare if you allow them. So, you know, we need to see Florida State start like they did last week against Virginia Tech and not have that, you know, that lull that they had against Boston College and last week against Virginia Tech. You know, initial thoughts, I'm not overly concerned, but to your point, to open the show, I'm always a little nervous because, right, if this game is 3-7-point game in the third quarter, anything can happen. So put them away early and get – I want this to be a Jordan Travis on the sideline with a clipboard and ball cap type of fourth quarter game.
Playing hangman.
Yeah.
It was
against Syracuse in 2013.
10 years ago. Yeah. So this should have been the 10-year anniversary game that they invited the 2013 team back, and they should have had them all play. I wish I could have thought of that.
Well, they're honoring the 93 team this week, yeah. which will be cool.
Charlie Ward can play hangman on the sideline.
Yeah, Charlie and Bert Kreischer, I saw, is planning to be at the game. He has a show in Jacksonville Saturday night. So, you know, a lot of FSU legends there.
Good stuff. Harlan, let's play a sound. Michael Harris on Venmo.
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Noles win. Noles win.
He said, I'm glad we know the victory formation. Yeah, I have not stopped laughing about what, you know, Coach Cristobal did down there in Miami. I saw a tweet, Richie, that said it was like, man, these are some of the most electric play calls that Mike Norvell has had all year. And then it was all five kneel downs, right? Florida State's 5-0. They knelt the ball five times. Hilarious. FSU Plays Daily. Shout out that that Twitter account. Michael, thank you for the love. Somebody go take Michael's spot there on the bottom of the screen. Okay, Garrett Schrader. It all kind of starts and ends here for Syracuse. I mean, they've got other guys, so I don't mean to belittle anybody else that they've got on their roster, but 102 of 158, 1,200 yards plus 8-5 touchdown interception ratio. He has 368 rushing yards. I will say 195 of that did come in one game against Purdue. So maybe a little bit misleading, but obviously shows that he can go off there. What's interesting about that 195 is only 38 of them. Like he had a long of 38, Richie. And so it wasn't like he broke a 90 yarder or something like that. I mean, 38 is plenty long, but he was running a ton there, right? Like it wasn't like a 75, 80 yard run that he broke off to get that yardage total. last week against UNC, who does not have a very good defense. He had 10 attempts for 28 yards, one sack, so some sack yardage adjusted into there. I didn't look up how long the sack was. I'd imagine if you just said it was 10 yards, then, you know, he's got 10 attempts for 38 yards. So not afraid to run the ball. Florida State has faced a ton of mobile quarterbacks to start this year out. I saw a tweet, maybe from Sinone, can't remember exactly, on the number of running quarterbacks that they faced, and I think it's like four out of the top 20 or something already. You know, thoughts on Schrader this weekend, and kind of, does he, you know, obviously he's probably their most dynamic player, but how much does he worry you?
Yeah, I mean, any mobile quarterback should worry any offense in college football. You know, obviously we're still a little scarred from the Boston College game, but I mean, that Purdue game, he ran the ball 25 times, which is just ridiculous when you think about it. We'll see what happens. He's not run more than 15 times in another game. In that game, he only had 24 yards against Clemson. Just three rushes against Western Michigan. You know, North Carolina last week, 10 carries, 28 yards. So that Purdue game is definitely an outlier. But again, any mobile quarterback, it scares you a little bit because when you get in that third and long, and I think Florida State's done a really good job this season of forcing those, you know, second and long, third and long situations where he can just take off and run. You never know. But overall, I'm not overly concerned. If he runs the ball 25 times against Florida State, I do think the defense will make him pay. I think this defense has been really solid the past few weeks. So I do think he'll get some yards, and I think we have him as a more or less in our prize picks coming up at the end of the show. So somewhat worrisome, but, you know, not to the point of, you know, what Boston College's Cassianos had against us, because we even talked about it going into that game. Acknowledge Boston College is not a good team, but also acknowledge that Cassianos was an amazing athlete, and he certainly proved to be that day.
Yeah, I don't know that Schrader can do that, you know, hurt us to that level. I don't think he's as dynamic of an athlete. I also think that, you know, Florida State will be a little more keyed in here, but, you know, yeah, they haven't looked great. I mean, he, you know, in his last two games, he's got a total of 300 passing yards, had 176 against Clemson and just 124 against North Carolina. North Carolina is not necessarily a great defense. And so to, you know, Syracuse lost that game 40-7. You would hope that Florida State's defense is able to hold them down pretty well. Otherwise it'd be kind of frustrating. I'm not going to be frustrated if the defense gives up more than 7. I probably will be frustrated if they give up more than 17, though. Is that fair?
I think so. I think Vegas has it set at 19.5 for Syracuse, so probably allowing for a garbage time touchdown. But, you know, even last week, the defense was outstanding. You know, take away that kickoff return for a touchdown, which, you know, first time in 19 years, I think Florida State's allowed that. And that defense was really dominant the last 2.5 quarters. So I do think, you know, barring any turnovers or anything weird happening on special teams, I think Florida State should hold this Syracuse team under, you know, like you said, 17 points, maybe less. We'll see what happens. But they've been really solid. You know, Adam Fuller gets a lot of hate on the timeline, and I think a lot of that goes back to his first year here when he had no quality players really at all. You know, he had a few, obviously. But, you know, this team is, you know, they're pretty talented. They're not top five in the country in talent, but they're certainly playing like a top five team in the country, you know, as the polls would suggest.
What did I, you know, I saw the stat that there's been like 24 second half possessions or maybe 25, and Florida State's given up 3 touchdowns and they've scored 2 themselves. So that's a net of 1. They've been really good in the second half. And then, you know, when you look at the games again, we talked about this on Sunday, but you gave up 17 points to LSU. With your starters in, you know, backups did give up a touchdown late. Would you give up 13 to Southern Miss? You give up 22 to Boston College. That's kind of the outlier. But then you gave up 24 to Clemson, but you scored 7. And so a net of 17 there. And then you give up 10 to Boston College. Man, that average is really not bad, Richie. You're talking about 14, 15 points a game. And if you count the touchdown that you scored against Southern Miss as well, that takes that down to 6 as far as a net goes. And, man, at that point, you're talking about a 13-point a game or so average that this defense has given up. Not terrible, right, for as much hate as Adam Fuller gives up. If if your defense is giving up 17 or less, I mean you're going undefeated. You're going 15-0. So keep giving up 17 or less and keep winning, which they should be able to do this weekend. And I think even if you gave up 17 with your starters and gave up a garbage time touchdown to get them to 24, like, I'm not super concerned about that. I mean, I don't want to give away my score prediction, but I think Florida State goes over 40 this weekend. I feel fairly confident in the offense kind of turning it on, turning it up this weekend and getting going. So I think if they wanted to kind of keep the foot on the pedal, they certainly could have last week against Virginia Tech. So leading rusher, LaQuint Allen, 4.6 a carry, 401 yards, 7 touchdowns. A lot of that is against some of the lesser competition. Obviously, they have not been very good against the ACC opponents that they've played, Clemson, North Carolina. Granted, those are two of the better ACC opponents out there, so won't hold too much against them. S&P Plus says they're 54th offensively, 34th defensively. For perspective, Florida State's 15th and 21st. So Florida State should kind of manhandle in this game. Richie, I think something that people were happy to see this week was the running game being back and looking like last year's running game that finished the year. Trey Benson going for 200 yards in the game. Do you think the running game can stay hot? Do you think they found something against Virginia Tech that can kind of carry them this year? What are your thoughts on the running game overall?
Yeah, I think they can definitely have a good week this week. You know, we'll see what happens when they play some, you know, better defensive lines, because I like the offensive line. I don't love the offensive line. Trey Benson, you know, he showed, I don't know if you saw today, TJ, but there was a Twitter account, Real Analytics. Benson got up to 22 miles an hour on the 85-yard touchdown run. Tyreek Hill's top speed this year with the Dolphins was 22.01 miles an hour. So this is a man that 220 pounds is just moving when he gets into the open field. Now, he doesn't have that quite acceleration that you'd love to see. And if he had that, he'd be a, you know, first-round draft pick at running back. But I liked what I saw from the running game. I think Mike Norvell, we know he wants to run the ball. He's a very proud coach, and he wanted to take that bye week to get with Coach Atkins and say, listen, we're going to figure this out no matter what it takes. And he certainly did. So I hope we see more of that this week. You know, take away the two explosive runs by Benson, and they were still solid if you look at the stat line. So I like where the run game is at. I'd still like to see more consistency and improvement, and I think this week certainly offers you that. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, I think this is a game where you want to come out, start fast, and control the game on the ground with a little bit of tempo. So I'm excited to see that aspect of the game and the game plan for Coach Norvell, because again, he's a proud coach, and you know, you're going to give an update on Johnny Wilson here in a bit, but you might need to lean on the running game a little bit more depending on how these next few days go.
Yeah. I think, you know, you look at last week and man, they started really well. You know, we score on the first three possessions. And then I think, was that fourth possession kind of hampered by the penalty call, the kind of imaginary holding, and then the DPI that didn't get called, or it might have been the next one, but they had to punt on one of the next two drives, and then which was a drive that kind of had back-to-back rough calls that maybe ended it. They didn't call a DPI on Ja'Kai Douglas running down the sideline, which we did a ref video earlier this week, and they didn't call the late hit on Jordan Travis. They also kind of called a phantom call on Casey Roddick that I have watched 16 times in preparation for that ref video and still never saw. But, you know, offense looked good to start, you know, and so that's what you'd like to see. People had complained about slow starts and kind of got that monkey off your back last week. So, hopefully the run game continues to look good. Slow starts are a thing of the past, and we can just kind of go out and roll, get a bunch of backups time in this Syracuse game. You haven't got to do that as much as you want to. I think you did against Southern Miss, but really that's been it. And so, a little bit here in this last game, you get some defensive guys some time against LSU, but you'd really like to get some backups, some burn. We thought we were going to have a lot of blowouts this year. I'm not at all upset with the way we've played this year, but you'd certainly like to get a little bit more out of your first team if you can. Listen, John, I want to ask you about this and I don't want to get in trouble or yelled at here, but Jordan looks like he's throw it a little weird. Have you seen some of the Knowles 247 stuff on this? Like, it feels like he's throwing off his back foot weird, kind of leaning away from things. Now, from what I can tell, it's not really impacting where the ball goes, but it is something that I'm noticing, and it looks like he's almost like shying away from contact, which I think he does a really good job of contorting his body, and you saw that against Florida last year when he was kind of running away and diving in the end zone and everywhere else. I think that's been impressive, and so but it's not just on plays where there's a guy like right in his face about to hit him. It seems like he's doing it on every throw where he's kind of like turning weirdly on his back foot. Again, doesn't seem to be impacting where the ball is going too much. And so the touch is still there, but I don't know. It feels like kind of a weird hitch. I do think he was better this week against Virginia Tech, but any thoughts there on JT?
Yeah, I think, you know, we all know the past few weeks that, you know, last week he looked the healthiest he's looked all season outside of the start of the LSU game. I do think he's been banged up, and that's no secret to anybody. So I do think he's probably been trying to protect himself, and maybe it's just a defense mechanism that's turned into a, I don't want to call it a bad habit, but just him being, you know, subconscious about saying, oh, man, let me protect myself here. I think one of the best things that could happen to him would be to take a solid hit against Syracuse, throwing the ball and feel just fine, get up and say, okay, my body's great. I'm good. I'm healthy. I got nothing to worry about now. So I do think he's been protecting his body, even if not intentionally and just subconsciously doing it. But I think, like you said, his throws have been fine for the most part. You know, it's a shame that throw to Ja'Kai Douglas was a beautiful throw that probably is a touchdown if the ref makes a very easy DPI call there, but I'm not overly concerned about it. Like I said, I think this week, next week, you know, he's going to have some opportunities to quote unquote get right. And the more confidence he gets in his body and his health, the less we'll see of that. So I think Jordan Travis is going to be just fine. And I do expect him to be playing his best football in the month of November when they're going to need it the most. If they do plan to make the college football playoff, I don't know if you have to go 13-0, but I sure would love to see this team do it and just remove the committee from the equation entirely, because the 13-0 Florida State team, I don't care who else is 13-0, Florida State is in the top four in that situation.
Yeah, there's zero chance. Okay, here's a good one. We'll get to the playoff thing in a minute, but like this is a good segue, and then we'll talk a little bit about Syracuse's head coach, Dino Babers. 13-0 Florida State, 13-0 Georgia, 13-0 Oklahoma, 13-0 Michigan, and 13-0, call it Washington. Who gets left out?
Washington.
Okay, no love for the Pac-12.
I think the brand will have a serious case there, because Washington's resume would look really nice at that point. I think it's between them and Oklahoma at that point.
I was going to say Oklahoma is mine, just because
they
got the win against Texas, but like... Now, I guess if they had another win against Texas in the Big 12 championship, like, and Texas is still top 10 at that point, like, man, that'd be strong. But I don't know, that Washington's going to have a good resume, man, with wins against, if they go undefeated, Oregon, a win against a top 10 USC team, if they can continue to kind of like tread water and skate by, possibly Oregon again. I think that. But it's not us. Like, we're in. Like, there's no doubt about it. Especially if we play like a 11-1 or 12-0 Louisville or something like that. Like, I think we're pretty set. Okay, we'll get to our playoff.
But I don't see any more than two undefeated teams left heading into the playoff. These leagues are going to cannibalize themselves. Georgia's going to be undefeated. That Alabama might be Georgia in Atlanta, and that makes things very interesting, because then do you start asking yourself, does a 12-1 Alabama team belong in over, you know, a 12-1 Pac-12 team who won their conference championship? So I think there's definitely some drama to have it towards the end of the season, but Florida State's coming in. If Florida State is 13-0, they are going to be in. I have no concerns about that.
Yeah, what I think with the College Football Playoff Committee is they're kind of fickle on conference championships. Like, you get credit for winning them, but you almost don't get penalized for losing them. And I think
you saw that with TCU last year. Yeah.
And Georgia a couple years ago, right? Yeah. Alabama beat them and they still went. So, and I almost think that that's the right thing to do, because if you're a team like TCU last year, who makes your conference championship, you are already better than everyone else who didn't make their conference championship, or you're held in a little bit higher regard. I don't say better because, you know, who knows what would happen on the field. But if you make your conference championship, you shouldn't be penalized for losing to another great team while somebody else sat at home because they couldn't make their conference championship. So in that scenario, if Florida State's 12-0 and they go lose to, let's say UNC makes it, but they've got a loss or two, you know, whatever, right? Like they lose to a team that's not going to make it over them. And Ohio State was sitting at home at 11-1. Florida State should go over Ohio State. Like they shouldn't be penalized for playing in a conference championship. If that's the case, it would have been better to not even make it, right? And so I think that, and that's what they did with TCU last year. So I think the conference championship, man, like just making it is what's important. Now, winning it does matter, but losing it just doesn't hurt you as much as you would think it does. Now, you get blown out, other, you know, you lose it and there are four other conference champions, they have the same record as you. Like that's where I think it could certainly hurt you.
To your point, TJ, I think a 12-0 regular season and a loss in the ACC title game is more important than dropping a game in the regular season and then winning the conference championship at 12-1, because they're both 12-1, right? But, you know, look at Notre Dame, right? If they run the table, which, you know, they already have a loss. But if they were 12-0 and they get to sit at home and Florida State's 12-0, but they go and lose a tough game to Louisville and Florida State's ahead of Notre Dame heading into, you know, the final rankings, I don't see how you can move Florida State down at that point. So I do think the regular season is more important based on what we've seen from the committee and what they've done in recent seasons. So we'll see what happens. But again, the good news, again, if you're a Florida State fan or a Florida State coach or football player, just win these next eight games and you're going to be in the playoff.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think they, I mean, you got a comment here saying that you don't think they could lose the conference championship and make it. I think they could, unless they were losing to an undefeated Louisville or an undefeated UNC. That's where I think you'd be in trouble because they'd take that ACC spot. Now, if the Pac-12 champion, the SEC champion, and the Big Ten champion, and Big 12 champion are all undefeated, then yeah, Florida State's not going to make it in. But wouldn't surprise me at all if Oklahoma has another loss coming, and then you know you've got a one loss Big 12 champion. I could see the Big Ten kind of cannibalizing itself. I could see the Pac-12 cannibalizing itself with Oregon and Washington and USC and all those teams out there. So Utah, if Rising gets back, so yeah, I'm not as worried about that. But you're right though. Control your own destiny. Go out and win. You're going to be what game do you think Florida State is favored by the least in the rest of the way? I think it's Florida. Just for the record, like I could see Miami, but I just think that because it's home and away, that's 6 points. I think it's UF.
So I think Florida State's favored the least over Miami, but I think Florida's your toughest game left just going into the swamp. So I think they'll both be close, but I think those are the two games. But I think Vegas will probably, now this depends on if North Carolina goes out and boat races Miami this weekend,
yeah,
you know, that changes things entirely. I still think Miami's a good team. You know, I still think they're talented and tough. They kind of dominated that box score. Just Tyler Van Dyke just completely gave Georgia Tech every chance they could hope for. But it's wild when you look at Billy Napier's record on the road versus at home. I think Florida's probably the toughest game left just because of all the pressure that will be riding on that if you are 11-0. But I think Miami will have the smallest spread left this season.
Yeah. I could see it. I could see it both ways. I could see you being like an 8 to 10 point favorite against Miami, maybe 7. Maybe that's the right number for that game. But I wouldn't surprise me if it's a little bit more. And then it being like a touchdown or 8 points against Florida because you're on the road, 6 points, you know, to where if you're playing Florida at home, maybe that'd be like a 14 point spread. So anyway, all right, back to the Syracuse preview, since we've gotten distracted here. Dino Babers blames the lack of depth at Syracuse on NIL. Our depth is in the transfer portal. You know how many guys we lost? You know what schools they play at? Schools like us, we're not going to have a lot of depth because it gets bought away. Last year's game, he's talking about against Florida State, showed me exactly what name, image, and likeness can do, Babers said. Because the year before that, we went down there and kicked and they kicked a field goal for the very last play to beat us. 2 years before that, we went down there and we were kicking a field goal to tie them and it got blocked. It showed me how quickly you can change a football team. So I have some thoughts on this, Richie. I'm sure you do too. But what I will say is that I do agree that Florida State has certainly built up their team through the transfer portal. Obviously, I believe they've only taken one player from Syracuse. That's Deuce Spann, and I really don't know what hit. Oh, no, he was at Illinois. Mixing up the colors. We've taken nobody from Syracuse, right? Unless I'm missing somebody. They were talking about that Chestnut kid that we never ended up getting him.
Well, they have a DB that's now at Ohio State and one at LSU. So,
but nowhere, no, but like, well, we haven't played.
No, we haven't, like, no.
But, I think that's a little bit disingenuous because Florida State, I mean, you know, you back up to where Florida State was really, really bad and say like, oh, well, we were close to them 3 years ago. But then if you back up like 4 years before that, like we were blowing them out every single year. So like, I don't know. I think it's a little disingenuous to just say like, yeah, like it's all NIL and, you know, that's how they were able to take all of our players. I guess in theory, I understand and I get what he's saying, but I don't necessarily know that this is the – Florida State's always, you know, Syracuse has always been a doormat to Florida State. And that's not me trying to be a jerk, but that's just kind of is what it is. So I think it's a little disingenuous to blame it on NIL now. Like Florida State wouldn't have gotten back and been a lot better than them even without it. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just being salty. What do you think?
I think he's got a point, and I think his point stands because you got to think, look at Wake Forest right now. If we had to play them with Sam Hartman, that's a much tougher game. NIL certainly played a role in him going to Notre Dame. I just think it's an issue that these middle to bottom dwellers in these Power Five conferences are going to have to face. And it's not unique to Syracuse. It's going to be a Georgia Tech thing. We saw it with Jahmyr Gibbs. It's going to be a, you know, a Vanderbilt thing if they get a guy that looks like a future, you know, potential first round draft pick. And it's the truth. And guys, go give to the battle's end right now. Because Dino Babers has a point. Now, granted, it's not a good look coming off of two blowout losses to start saying this. But, yeah, you know, NIL is going to change the game. And we'll see as the rules change because they're going to continue to change. But, you know, Florida State, like you said, TJ, we haven't taken anyone from Syracuse. But we've certainly benefited getting guys from Michigan State, Keon Coleman. You know, even at Albany, like Jared Verse and, you know, Oregon, Trey Benson, it doesn't matter. But I think it does show that the top programs, the biggest brands that have the most dedicated fan bases are going to be successful. Now, ultimately, you want to build your program mainly through high school recruiting. And this class this year is looking like Florida State's moving towards that way. But, you know, Florida State is not a top five team in the country without the transfer portal right now. They may not be top 25 in the country without the transfer portal. So I think Babers has a point. We kind of saw Mark Stoops say the same thing, basically, saying Georgia, they just bought their team. That's what he's like, if you're a Kentucky fan and you're upset about what happened, give us more money for NIL. You know, it's a crazy time in college football, and it's going to get changing, get crazier and crazier. I do think it's a bad look for him to say it off of two blowout losses, but I think he has a point that NIL certainly is changing the game. And again, if you're a Florida State fan, go give to the battle's end because that will keep us competitive.
I had a good idea this weekend. And I'm going to have to partake in it because I can't make it up. But if you can't make the game this weekend, a lot of people say, oh, I wish I could make the game and wish I could support, wish I could do this, do that. If you want to support, the face value of a ticket this weekend is $50. Go give $50 to the boosters and give $50 to the Battle's End, and that's your way to support from home. So if you can't be there screaming your lungs out, you don't have to pay for the gas, you don't have to pay for the hotels, but go give $50 to the Battle's End and $50 to our boosters. That's what I'm going to do this weekend since I can't make it, so I'd encourage the 163 people watching this to do the same. If you can, if you're able, if you can give $5 each, then do that. Florida State's going to pick up their sixth win of the season this year. I'll go on record and say that. And then I probably will have to end up giving a little bit more at the end of the game too. So hopefully you guys are in on that. We will certainly tweet all that stuff out. Appreciate the Battles In for all they do. And of course our boosters as well. Yeah. And I agree. I see your point, and I'm not like totally anti Babers saying this. I just think that, you know, Florida State was going to get back one way or the other.
100%. You know,
they're just two different programs with two different investment levels. This is not Babers' fault, but Syracuse doesn't give a crap about football and they don't invest into it. And so it's hard for me to care that they're not successful. They care about basketball like a lot of the teams in this conference do, and they spend their resources that way, and they take the check that we earn them every year, and they invest that into basketball. And so screw them. I don't care, right? Like, and a lot of schools do that. It's not just Syracuse, but so maybe that's why I'm just salty about him commenting on NIL and everything else, transfer portal. Maybe if you invested back into your football program with the money that we're giving you every year from our TV revenue, then you wouldn't suck and we wouldn't blow your doors off. So anyway, all right, I'm off my soapbox. Michael Alford will be proud of that rant. Let's do a Prize Picks more or less. You guys, go get on the Prize Picks app. Listen, if you've already got an account, if you haven't signed up with us, listen, just create a new account. All right, it's all right. You'll be fine. Prize Picks. You can use the link in the description. Use our code DFNS. You get 100% deposit match up to $100. Listen, I don't know if you guys know what a playthrough is, but if you deposit on other sites, you have to play through like 4 or 6 times. They had a one-time playthrough. So you literally could deposit $100, play through that $100, and then you can already cash it out when you get the bonus. So Prize Picks app, DFNS. You pick more or less on each projection. Last week, I took the on the less on Jordan Travis's interceptions. So I took less than a half. I took the over. Don't make fun of me, but I took the over on Graham Mertz's passing yards. Trevor Etienne was going to be out. They had a couple of offensive linemen that were going to be out there at UF. And I thought that they could open it up against Vandy. I hit big on that. I took, again, JT's under on interceptions. I wouldn't play that again this week. I don't think he gets interception, but that seems risky to play that same play 2 weeks in a row. Made a bunch of money. So go get on the Prize Picks app, DFNS. You get 100% deposit match. Richie, what do we have for this week?
Yeah, let's jump right into it. And, you know, Prize Picks, surprisingly, the picks are not out. So these are actually the Barnes Sportsbook. But we'll start with Jordan Travis, 289.5 pass yards for the game. What do you think?
I'll go less. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a good day. I think that we're going to run it up. I think we're going to try and rush a lot. And, I think he'll go out. Harlan says more, though.
I'm going to go more as well. I think, you know, they want to continue to get him going. I think he's got to get smarter in, you know, taking what the defense is giving him and not just going for the deep shot every single time. And I think he starts getting there. And I could see him right under 300 or so. So I'll take the more on that. Garrett Schrader, 59.5 rush yards. I might have set this too high, but what are your thoughts, DJ?
Yeah, I like the less there, especially with sacks. I mean, Verse had his first two of the year. I'll go less. Harlan's got the same thing.
Yeah, I think he's just a guy that he's capable, right? And, you know, what we've shown our defense to be suspect enough against the quarterback running the ball, I'll still go less, and it'll be a wash, but it would not surprise me if he goes more.
Let's bet it down. You want to bet it down since we're all less? All right, 49.5. You still less, Harlan? All right, Harlan's still less. You want more there, Richie?
I'll take more than 49.5.
All right, I'll still say less, but we don't even track these. I don't know why I'm betting it down like that. One day, Harlan's
going to go back and listen to all of these.
He ain't doing that, bro. He don't care. We should all take there's like 6 episodes. We should all take 2 episodes and go listen to it. But I'll cheat on mine. I'll be like, oh, yeah, those 2 weeks I went 6-0.
all right. What about Trey Benson, 89.5? I think he goes over again. I think he's starting to find a groove. And I think to your point, they'll be committed to the run this week.
Yeah, I'll go more on this one. I think he gets – I like him to break triple digits here.
And Harlan says more as well. Yep. Keon Coleman, 79.5 reception yards. I'm playing towards the Jordan Travis. And some news, TJ, you kind of we haven't even touched on. I'm going to say more based on who might and might not be playing.
Yeah, I'll go more on Keon. We'll talk about Johnny Wilson here in just a minute. I totally passed that up and forgot about it. So I really wasn't trying to get you guys to listen to the whole show, but you did anyway, and so we appreciate that. But yeah, I got more for Keon, and so does Harlan.
Syracuse 19.5 total points. That's the actual Vegas number. I'm going to take less.
I'll go less here. Harlan's going to be a hater and go more. I can already tell, but I'll go less than 19.5.
Yep. There it is. Sorry. And the last one, I'm going to take the more. I'll just go and say
this
it.
Is fun.
Florida State 1.5 QB kneels in the fourth quarter.
I'll take the less on this. Logic there is that they have the backups in. They want to get the backups some rushes. They'll kneel it down on the final play. But I'll go with just one kneel down for the game. What's hard there is, like, if Syracuse somehow ends up with the ball last and, like, gets to throw a Hail Mary with, like, 2 seconds left or something, you know, down by 30. Yeah. But so I'll go less. And Harlan's got less as well.
All right. So that'll be it for that then. And we will get you guys caught up on this eventually. No promises.
Yeah, we'll each do two this week to make it better. So we're just crappy people. All right, Johnny Wilson. I'm hearing, actually, since the time that we've been on, I'm hearing that Johnny did not practice the last 2 days. I don't want to say what specific injury I'm hearing about, because I do think that could potentially hurt, you know, FSU if others were to find that out, but and then kind of target him there. But I hear Johnny didn't practice the last 2 days. I was told by one source that he's questionable for this weekend. Another flat out told me he was going to be out and then he'll be back for Duke pretty assuredly. I think Florida State feels really good about where they're at in this game, and there's no reason to rush him back or try and get him back immediately. So I don't know. I'd still lean toward questionable. I trust the other source that said he's out, but I literally got that while I was on the phone here or on the show here. And so I haven't had any chance to kind of research that or look into it at all. But I'd say, you know, lean toward out / questionable for Johnny Wilson this weekend. Hopefully that gets some other guys involved. Been a lot of people complaining about Jordan just throws it up to the outside all the time. You know, maybe he won't do that this weekend. So I don't know. People have less to complain about if 14 isn't out there, but fingers crossed, hopefully he's back, you know, fairly quickly. Hopefully he recovers well. And I mean, I'd love to see him out there this weekend, but again, only if he's 100%. I think Florida State feels good about where they're at, whether he plays or not. Any quick thoughts on Johnny?
Yeah, if you don't need to play him, don't play him. And honestly, I'd be fine sitting him next week as well. Again, get healthy for the right time of the season. I think the bye week came at the perfect time in last week. So you want to be as healthy as possible in the month of November. Now, it's not anywhere close to murderer's row. But like I said, we troll a lot on Twitter and sometimes on here. I think Miami and Florida are both tough games. And you need to be at full strength to win those games. And you want a full-strength Johnny Wilson, even if he's just a distraction to keep one-on-one coverage on Keon Coleman. He's just such an asset. If he's not ready, don't play him. That's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, just no reason to risk it. You also have Ja'Kai Douglas back. Was Kentron out there last week? Did Kentron play?
I don't know if you got any snaps, but and you got Dustin Hill finally got a catch. So yeah. You have plenty of options at receiver.
Yep. Kyle Morlock was pretty involved this week. Jaheim Bell out there. You've got a lot of options. Maybe see some young guys too. So we'll see kind of what that looks like. I'm not concerned at all about the receiving core and where we'll be there.
No.
So,
no.
All right, playoff check-in. This is fun. Hey, if you want to sponsor the playoff check-in, you may have a business or it may just literally be we shout out your Twitter account, but whatever. If you want to sponsor it, hit us up on social media and we're happy to chat with you. But Richie, you ended up being right last week. I said that I thought Oklahoma would find a way to win. They didn't. Florida State back in the top four. Playoff check-in. You can roll with this.
Yeah, so this week, you know, we're just looking at the top teams in the playoff and not a whole lot of excitement, really. Georgia's going to beat Vandy easily. Michigan's going to do the same to Indiana. Ohio State should beat Purdue pretty easily. Penn State plays UMass. That's not a big deal. Number six right there. So that's number 1, 2, and 6. The big one, Washington, number 7 currently in the AP poll, favored by 3 at home against number 8, Oregon. I don't know if this is an elimination game, but I guarantee you both of these teams want to win this game. And I'm leaning Oregon, TJ, even though Washington's favorite here.
Man, I like Dan Lanning a lot. And Penix has been really good, but I just don't necessarily know that I trust Washington until I see him do it. I know that Oregon is a program that's done some really good things. So, yeah, I think I'd lean Oregon on this as well, but nothing would shock me, right? Like, I don't think either one of them have played incredible competition by any means. I mean, Oregon, you know, did look good against a Colorado team that surprised some people early. But I don't necessarily think that, you know, they have a great win yet. They were kind of close against Texas Tech. And then same thing with Washington. You know, Washington, who have they played? They're 5-0 as well. Beat Boise State, beat Michigan State, who's, you know, in all kind of calamity. Close game against Arizona. So I don't know. But I think this game will be a lot of fun. I could see it going either way. I'd probably lean Oregon just because I've seen them do it. I trust Dan Lanning. But I think that one will be a fun one. I think there are some other fun games this weekend, though. Not a ton with the playoff contenders, but I think there are some games out there that are worth watching. I think Texas A&M and Tennessee is fun. Yeah. A&M already 4-2, and so they could be staring 4-3 right in the face with a trip to Tennessee. Tennessee's a 3-point favorite there. Louisville goes on the road to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh not very good this year, but never an easy place to play. I think that one could be fun. Notre Dame, USC. USC has struggled. Notre Dame's a 3-point favorite at home, but they just got throttled by Louisville. I remember growing up when it was like Jeff Samardzija and Brady Quinn against, Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart. Those Notre Dame USC matchups, man, were phenomenal. I had a buddy who's a huge, huge Notre Dame fan. I've been to a couple of Notre Dame games with him, and I loved watching them, man. They were so much fun. So that's a kind of a one that's fun for me to kind of look back on. Miami, North Carolina, obviously the rivalry, yep. And then Florida up against South Carolina because of the rivalry. Duke, NC State. I want to know if Leonard plays. You know, like how's he looking? How is that situation progressing? I don't even know if you've heard anything on him when he may come back. I saw Hale put out a couple of days ago that his status was uncertain still. But if he's uncertain against NC State, that means it sounds like he's kind of edging closer to be back. Could be back against us. I think that's certainly interesting. If he plays against NC State, I'd certainly expect him to play in Tallahassee unless he re-aggravates something. But so there's a lot of, it's not the craziest week of college football, but shout out to my Flames that got a big win last night to get to bowl eligibility at 6-0. I love Tuesday night football, man. There were three games on. It was great. But I'm excited for some games this weekend. I'm excited that, again, we're at noon and I can just enjoy the rest of the day pretty easily.
Yeah, like you said, that A&M Tennessee game sticks out. I don't know if you know this, TJ, but Jimbo Fisher has lost 7 consecutive games on the road against ranked opponents and has not beat a ranked opponent on the road since 2015 at Florida State. So this is a big game for Jimbo because those boosters are not happy right now. I know they had a decent win recently, but if any school could afford to fire their head coach that has a $70+ million buyout, it's Texas A&M with that oil money. I'm not saying it happens, but I'm saying he is on a short leash right now. Notre Dame USC, like you said, I don't think it has a whole lot of playoff implications just because I don't think USC is going to be in the conversation at the end of the year. Now they could be that they could go out and beat Oregon and beat Washington. And all of a sudden they're probably number 2 in the country with that resume. So we'll see what happens, but it's just exciting times. It's exciting that we can even have this segment on a Florida State football podcast after the past few years where we're like, are we going to a bowl? Are we not? You know, it's just a good place to be as a Florida State fan.
Yeah, we deserve this after 2020, 2021, and 2022 was pretty good. I don't want to complain too much about that. But, A&M better find a way to win this week because I think they beat South Carolina, but I think they lose to Ole Miss and LSU. If they lose this week and then lose those other two, that's a 7-5 record staring them right in the face. I think they win the other three, South Carolina, Mississippi State, Abilene Christian. But, I think it's a 7-5, 8-4 ceiling for Jimbo. Which without Jameis Winston on the roster, that sounds about right. So, all right. Any shout outs before we get out of here, Richie?
No shout outs, man. Just excited for the game again. Shout out my buddy Cody. I'm going to his son's first birthday party this weekend. That's going to conflict with his Florida State game, but I will figure it out if I'm on my phone at the pool, just watching it that way. I will find a way to watch. But yeah, shout out him and his son.
Good stuff. Well, I appreciate you guys that tune in. Make sure you're subscribed. We did a ref video that you guys probably already watched this week. We did another video on the ACC scheduling, what happens if Florida State, Louisville, and UNC all finish undefeated in the ACC. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Go Noles.